In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Holy Week. Wow! Some pastors are going, whoa. You know, we finish Advent, and it depends upon how late Easter is. We get a break on the calendar before Ash Wednesday, but next thing you know, the older you get, the faster the time goes, right? And we're smack dab in Lent. But Lent, many years ago, as a pastor was talking to his member, found that it isn't really bad, but they didn't like Holy Week. And he couldn't understand. So he asked this lady, and I'll make up a name. He called her Martha, and he said, "Martha, how come you don't like Holy Week?" She said, "Because Wednesday night we have soup suppers." I live alone. It's hard to cook for just one. In fact, Wednesday nights, I don't have to cook. And the fellowship and the conversation and the laughter, I consider it part of the best time of the year. So when you think about it, we easily have that mindset, right? About what's the best time of the year? When's the best family celebration? Because all of us have traditions of some kind or another. Y'all laugh at Gwen and I. We grill steak for Thanksgiving. And some of you have said, "Pastor, what time is steak?" Because I'm not into turkey either. We all have traditions of some kind or another. And a lot of our traditions, not all of them, but a lot of them, we're surrounded food. Mom and Dad's anniversary, there's food. Birthdays, there's food. And, you know, any other celebration, any reason to celebrate, there's so often food. And then we get to a night like this, and there's limited food. In a little bit, Pastor Al will be back on this side of the altar, and he'll have uncovered the patent, and he will have spoken Jesus' words, and in here is the host, the wafer. These do not taste great, right? This is the wine. It may not be your favorite. I have yet, in 30-some years of ministry, had someone tell me, "I love the communion wine." I had a congregation where I changed the brand of the communion wine. A colleague of mine, Daryl Cobbs, I'll throw him under the bus, he had found this distributor out near St. Louis, and he had a special purchase price of wine by the case. And so I thought, man, that would save my little church a lot of money. And so we bought some. But I didn't announce this is different today. It's still the blood of Christ, but it's going to taste different. I didn't announce, but people had always been barking about the communion wine. And can't we change it? When I changed it, they barked about that. They didn't like the one I got. How is it that we can have such a crazy attitude about this holy meal? How is it that we would prefer the potluck and the fellowship, and we miss what it means to take and eat, and to take and drink, to receive in a mysterious, remarkable way, in a real present manner, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in, with, and under. Remember those words from your catechism? In, with, and under. When I was confirmed, I didn't understand them. Now that I'm a pastor, it's still a mystery. A And so Monday, Thursday, we go, ugh. Three words from the cross. Two sets of three words. What is so special about this? Well, I want you to think about that night in which Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Who was in the room? Now, I don't expect you to be able to name all 12. Some of you might, okay? There's no test tonight. But who was in the room? Well, it was the guys. Remember the guys? The ones that argued about who was greater among them, you know? And you can sit on the right and the left, those guys. And when Jesus told a parable or an allegory or when he did something and they didn't go get it, you know, it's almost like they would tap Jesus on the shoulder and go, Jesus, what'd that mean? The guys. The guys that when the children were coming to be with their Lord, to greet their Lord, the guys were going, shoo, shoo, get away. And they got in trouble with Jesus. Those guys. The guy. The bold one, Peter. Jesus says, I'm going to die. And Peter says, no, you're not. Right? And Jesus had to tell him, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Guys are around the table. And do you remember what's Jesus' perspective, his attitude, his heart towards those guys? It's recorded in Luke. He desires to eat and drink this meal with them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, would you pick a bunch of idiots? Would you pick guys that constantly fail or stumble or put their foot in their mouth and invite them to the most holy, the only holy meal on earth? Would you do that? And so Jesus tells us in these six words, these two, three-word phrases, the message that he told the disciples is the message that he tells us. And the first point is, he desires that you would eat with him. But it's not the potluck, and it's not the Thanksgiving dinner at the Wings House where pastors cook and steak. But it's his hosted meal. He's the host. He's the preparer. He does everything, and it is provided for them. It is after the Passover dinner, and yes, there is unleavened bread, and there is wine, but God who created all things is the God who provided the bread and the wine, and God provided the Son in the womb. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent. The host in the room was the one sent by God. And Jesus desired to have them in his presence as the host and in a way as a meal. For take and eat and take and drink. This is not Kroger bread. This is not home health bread. This is not homemade bread. This isn't the Philadelphia bakery bread. This is his body. By the very power of who he is and what he says, the bread there is united with himself and it is his body. And the wine that is present is now united with him and his blood. Doesn't chemically change. But by the mystery and the power of Christ himself, he says, I want you to be here at the Lord's Supper and partake of the meal. Not only with me, but the meal of me. And so Christ calls us the family of God to be at this dinner. That's why you're here tonight. It's Monday, Thursday, the night Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And he invites you, and a little bit you'll be coming forward to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And even though it's Pastor Al or Pastor Wink who speaks the word, we have no power. We've done nothing but actually just say what Jesus told us to say. This is for you. And that's the second part of this. This meal, this heavenly dinner, is about his body and his blood giving you not only his presence, but his presence, like Christmas present. He's giving you his gifts. Now you think about it. The guys in the room are getting the gifts. And what are they like? They're silly. They're foolish. They're hard-headed. They just can't let go of certain expectations. Doesn't that sound like us today? They're arguing about who's the greatest and who's the best. They're nitpicking at each other, just like brothers do. But Jesus invites them to give him a gift. It's the gift of the forgiveness of sins. It's the gifts of life and everlasting life. It's the gifts of strengthening the faith. And the guys in the room needed that. And they were going to need it greatly, shortly. Because this is Thursday night. And this night, he goes out to the garden. And there at the garden, he will be arrested. And there in the garden, they will run. And they will desert him, just like it was prophesied many years ago. And they will hide. And they will be frightened. They will need his gifts. And as he dies on the cross, and John is with his mom, Mary, and Peter's just outside the courtyard trying to deny, I do not know the man, that kind of thing, they need his gifts. Because there's no living and there's no surviving and there's no moving forward to the glory of God without his gifts. Because we who are wanting to be our own God, for we who like control, for we who love our having it our own way, for we who want to redefine the Ten Commandments so that going over the speed limit is not a sin, you know. And we have done that, right? If you go 5 miles faster than the speed limit, you're not supposed to get a ticket. Did you know that's not in the law? To redefine what's right, what's wrong, what's glorious, what's righteous, what's holy, what's pure. We have redefined this in a worldly way, and it's all dark. And Jesus is trying to tell you that he's redefined something else. He's taken simple wine and simple bread, unleavened bread, and he's redefined it, and he says, this is me. This is the one who dies in your place. This is the one who overcomes death and sin and the devil. This is the one who rises on Easter. This is me, Jesus says. This is my body. This is my blood. And that's the power of it. It isn't our positive thinking. It isn't that, well, I had a really good week this week, Pastor Al. I only messed up once per day. You know, now I'm ready for the Lord's Supper. No. We confess that we are the poor, miserable sinners. We are in unison with the guys, aren't we? There's things about the Bible we don't understand. There's things about the Bible we don't like. There's things Jesus says that we take personal. And we are the guys. And Jesus invites us into his room, his house, to the table of the Lord. And he says, take and eat, take and drink. And he says, your sins are forgiven. not because of what you are, or who you are, or where you are, or how much you are, or what you have done. Your sins are forgiven because this is what Jesus does. And you have new life. And he strengthens your faith so that, yes, we learn lessons from the guys. We try not to do those things. He strengthens your faith from your failures, from your stumblings, from your doubts, from your rebellion. He strengthens your faith to bring you anew into a walk with him. Because this is his body and his blood, and it's his life he's giving you. Take and eat. Take and drink. The body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And man, is this meal filling your heart? And does this meal indeed cast out despair? And this meal gives you hope. And this meal restores you in the unity of the faith, in your walk with him, and your walk together. And there is no potluck. There is no secular menu. There is no human celebration that matches this dinner. This is the greatest of all. And you're invited to receive his gifts. Pretty good invitation, isn't it? Given to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.